Well, howdy, partner. Welcome to Chimpeons to Deadlands Reloaded, an actual play podcast telling the story of three drifters using the Savage Worlds rules and Deadlands Reloaded setting. This episode is sponsored by our patrons, Inner Cube TV, Ben Styles, Stuart McQueen, Tayshul, and Doug Blath. And now that's out of the way, on with the show. Laughs at Darkness throws this handful of herbs and vegetation onto the fire, and yet flashes into smoke almost instantly, a sort of thick, pungent, mauve smoke and flame filling the whole of this, you know, small cave almost instantly. And as it sort of fills the area, you hear him chuckling in the gloom of the smoke. Can you all make me a vigor roll first, please?
Made it. Oh, fucking what, Jebediah? 21.
And I made.
So yeah, the smoke is thick and, you know, almost cloying, but, you know, it's not enough to send you gasping for air out of the confines of this area. I now need you all to make me a spirits roll as you feel, you know, the effects of whatever this smoke is, you know, crashing in on you.
I made it.
Made it, indeed.
Yeah. You know, you're all feeling to one extent or another a little bit lightheaded, but you suddenly, you know, feel an overpowering dizziness as your consciousnesses are thrown out of your bodies. You hang there for a moment, and then they are sucked across the landscape. And as your slightly skewed senses now realize you are rushing towards the Cooked Earth Mine, flash through the entrance and sink through, you know, twisting corridors and tunnels, and finally burst into a large chamber, much larger than, you know, where you know your bodies are sat. At the center, you see there is a large figure, maybe 12, 16 feet tall. Its body seems to be made of rock and stone, almost, you know, it certainly doesn't look like a statue. It looks like a living entity. And it seems to be suspended in the air. And as you sort of snap into, you know, the good film style, you know, the whole vision, everything around you blurs, and then you suddenly snap into this room, this thing looks at you and says, or doesn't say because its mouth doesn't seem to move, "I must ask for your help. The land around this place is under my protection. I've been here since the earth was young. Some time ago, the thing you called a mine was begun, and deep wounds were dug into the earth. Then a man came with magic unfamiliar to me. I do not know how he found me, but he called upon the magic of the sky and trapped me. I cannot touch the earth, so I only have a fraction of my power. The man drains my powers and uses it for his own dark purposes. I know not what they are, but I ask you, please, find me beneath this mine and free me. Do not let one of your kind," he says, looking at Jebediah and Reverend Allen, "twist my power so. Help me, and I will be generous in my rewards." And with that, the smoke comes crashing in, and everything goes mauve. And then, yeah, the next thing is, yeah, you're sort of flickering your eyes open, looking at the furs and ceiling of this kiva.
So we weren't able to act or communicate with this thing?
It would appear not.
Okay.
It's the devil's work. The promises of riches for selling your soul, but it smacks up to me.
Yeah, and Wolf, I mean, you would, I mean, I know you're not a shaman or anything, but you know, that was definitely, well, yeah, one of the Native American spirits, in, you know, incarnate, as it were.
Done that a few times. The headache after is good.
Well, that was strange. Did you all see that?
Yes.
Yeah, the rock monster.
The spirit of the earth. It was no monster.
It may be that I'm jumping ahead somewhat, but I can't help feeling that it seems to me that there's someone we know of with some special power who frequents the hills hereabouts, and we know from our previous encounter with the my apologies to you, old shits on fire or whatever your name is.
Yeah, as you sort of sit up and, you know, you're talking, you take stock, there is only the three of you here.
Whoa.
So, my apologies, just to return to what I was saying, I know of one man in these environs who has some kind of power similar to yourself, Reverend, or indeed myself in my own very humble and godly ways, who perhaps frequents these hills, and we know that the Cooked Mine is a place where vast evil has been done unto ordinary mortal folk, not unlike ourselves.
Let me see if I'm getting this straight now. Are you implying that it's the other Reverend from Coffin Rock who comes here? Is that who you are referring to?
Well, let us proceed from what we know, or what we have heard, or what we have learned. I'm not saying that for sure, but we know that the other Reverend is a man of some puissance, and we know, or we have heard, that he has done ungodly dealings within this town. And we also know, from our previous encounter with the blood men, as we're calling them, something is afoot at that mine, which is indeed ungodly. Now, I'm not saying that the Reverend Cheval is the man responsible, but I'm suspecting that, well, he is a suspect in this matter. Now, forgive me, Reverend. I understand that you are enamored of him in some way. You are very much impressed by his piety. But I'm thinking that, well, how many folks of power are there in this town? I mean, you know, it seems like a regular kind of mining town, and yet we have these burning creatures turning up, causing all kinds of mayhem. We have the death of the poor little girl, Bonnie Dakota. We have a whole slew of evidence, and now we have this experience with old laughs at death. So whoever he laughs at, he's full of he's full of mirth. So
now, I do realize, for I have been a wanderer in this land for many a year. And I do realize that there are many a folk who don a dog collar and claim to be working for the Lord. Raise an eyebrow.
Indeed there are, yeah.
And who use the good Lord's name for their own machinations. But I don't go around killing them just because that's what they're doing. You have to be going around getting proof that they are the sinners that they are trying to masquerade against being before we take them down under the name of the Lord. I raise my eyebrow at you again.
Well, Reverend Allen, I do not in any way gainsay what you have said. I agree wholeheartedly. I believe that proof is required in this matter.
One thing that I do believe that will give credence to what you have said is I know that the thing that powers him, it ain't the same as what powers me. I have the voice of God. I hear him in my ears and I speak his truth. But that does not look like the same thing, the same miracles and the same blessings that Cheval is getting. Now, the work of the Lord is mysterious and it comes to us in many ways. But yeah, that does cast doubt in my believing. Enough for me to listen to what you're saying and to take it on board wholeheartedly.
I appreciate that, Reverend. I don't expect us to raise up a posse and go and hang a Reverend Cheval from the
lynching tree.
Exactly. Yes. In the morning. But it gives me hope, and I'm heartened that you're willing to maybe experience some doubts as to his, shall we say, wholesome demeanor. And whilst we, as you know, God-fearing European folk, are ready and willing to think of jurisprudence and all that nonsense, I'd most willingly listen to the thoughts of a native at this time and what he feels we've learnt this afternoon. And I look at Wolf.
This...
It looks like a devil.
No, this is...
a rock monster.
This, I believe, is the spirit of Earth.
Mm.
Spirit of Earth for the land. The land is what us natives believe in, along with the other spirits. It's the land that gives us life. And you have seen from the shaman here, he has taken you on this ride to show you.
Well, I know he's given us some hooky rabbit, and we all had a turn.
Really? This is really what you think?
Yeah. And then in that turn, we got tempted by the devil. That's what I think. Offering us riches and power to assist them. Well, that's the devil's work, that is.
So you are not going to help me to free the spirit that has been trapped by greater evil?
I'll kind of go down there and see what's going on. But I'll have my wits about me, don't you worry.
I sort of need you to... I need to know who I'm with and who is with me.
Well, I'll be with you.
But you're not... What you say is not belief.
You lost me. I believe. And I believe that the devil tries to taint you when you think he's doing you a favor. You mark my words.
Then if that is the devil down there, then the shaman must have been one of his disciples.
Well, where is he now?
Well, he was only here to show us the way. So what do you think of me then?
Devil's work.
Brother Wolf, have you seen rituals like this in the past?
Many times. This is our way of life. It's how we communicate with the spirits and get the shaman get their powers, their medicine. Well, the medicine men, this is how they do everything they do.
Well, I am with you.
Good.
And as to the Reverend, perhaps God will show him the path of righteousness at the required time.
Maybe.
Reverend Allen's in his 40s, isn't he? Is that right?
Yeah.
So I think you certainly have come across Indian shamans before.
Yeah, it was just the terminology, the thing used.
I mean, with your strong religious beliefs, you obviously presume they're deluded in one form or another, but, you know, they're not necessarily all, you know. Well, again, it might be, you know, you've seen them do good things. Maybe they are still being led by the devil to a greater evil and all that sort of thing, but, yeah, what I guess what I'm saying is you don't necessarily see all shamans as evil. If you think Reverend Allen does, that's fine. I don't feel obliged to trapped by, you know, playing a reverend. No. That's what I'm saying, sorry.
The reverend is quite open, but it was just the terms. Help me and I'll give you power. That's the work of the devil.
Yeah, no, I'm not, yeah. So, yeah, can you all have a Benny?
It's a white one. I'm going to rage quit. Hey, got a red one.
So, yeah, as you have your discussion, you know, the fuzzy edges around your consciousness, I guess, you know, quickly disperse as, you know, when you wake up. You don't feel any ill effects either. What you've just experienced does seem, it's not like a dream where it sort of begins already sort of fading and it's the you know, remains with clarity.
Okay, let's leave this place.
How many hours left of daylight?
Pop your head out of the top. Where's the sun?
Can you make me survival? Yes, apologies.
Made it.
Five.
Yeah. Yeah, as you sort of, you know, you push the skins aside to come back out of this kiva. Yeah, you can see that the sun has moved in the sky quite a way. You reckon maybe a couple of hours have gone by.
So is it high noon?
So what do you think it's kind of
about? It's
probably
very early afternoon, yeah.
So we're looking at maybe 2 or 3 hours to get to the mine.
You reckon probably, if your estimates were right, it'd probably be about an hour and a half, 2 hours from here. Certainly make it there before dark, if that's what you were thinking about. Getting there and back might be pushing it. You'd certainly probably be getting back as you know, as it was getting dark at the best.
So Wolf, do you feel confident if we go to the mine? There are obviously indications that it may not be plain sailing. That's metaphor. It may not go as smoothly as we might expect, given what we've been shown. How do you feel about the possibilities of getting back to town, given you're the tracker?
This would be easy.
I mean, none of you are inexperienced to being, you know, sort of having to sleep on the trail and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So that wouldn't be necessarily, yeah, something that might put you off. I think you'd all be experienced in, you know, travelling, you know.
Yeah.
Having to sleep under the stars and all that quite a bit, so.
Well, I am one thing for sleeping under the stars. I'm another thing for sleeping under the stars when there are perhaps adversaries in the area. We might stir up a hornet's nest, is all I'm saying.
I think best we go to the mine. Straight away.
Let's go to the mine. Is
hi-ho, hi-ho.
Once you're in there, it matters not if it's day or night.
If you wanted to camp down, you know, and not head back to town, but, you know, get to the mine at a, you know, to give yourself a full day, you could always stay in this kiva. He seems to have not taken anything with him. All the furs and everything is still here. It'd certainly not be uncomfortable to stop here if you wanted to stay here and then, you know, head out in the morning.
Yeah, let's head on. We'll be fine.
Yeah. We have the Reverend Lord.
I'm happy to defer. I'll follow my brethren.
Lead on, Wolf.
As you three of you navigate your way back down the side of Coffin Rock Mesa, could you all make me an athletics, please?
Oh, yes.
Hey!
So yeah, you all managed to get down to the bottom without any real problems.
Can I just leap the last?
All right, Captain.
Reverend Allen and Wolf, can you please make me a bigger roll though as well?
Yep.
Yep.
Fine. So you're not fatigued by the time you get to the bottom. So yeah, you get down to the base, and yeah, your horses are and buggy are where you left them.
So then, Wolf, let's
lead on.
Let's head on. You take point.
Can you make me a survival then, please, Rolf?
Yeah, with a raise.
It takes you maybe about an hour and 45 minutes. You sort of find one of the most direct routes there. You know, apart from, you know, the sort of wildlife you would expect to find in this part of the world, you don't see anything untoward. Again, I presume you're sort of scouting just ahead far enough to warn Jebediah and Reverend Allen about anything up ahead before it spotted them. So yeah, you find that, you know, sort of come into a bit of a valley, for want of a better word, more of a gully, you know, and you know, you can see the entrance to what must be Coffin Rock Mine. Yeah, this huge great gash in the side of the mountain. Scattered around it are the old bits of abandoned equipment. Not like the mine's been fed from or anything, but you know, all the bits and pieces have been broken, and you know, carts and things, you know, with broken axles, just been, you know, shoved outside the mine waiting for repair, and they've just been left there, that sort of thing. Can you make me a notice roll as well though, please?
I've got two there, so the first one was 5.
Yeah, so yeah, it looks, you know, it looks as you'd expect. To say, you know, it's a bit of random detritus outside, you know, just the sort of stuff you'd expect to find dumped outside of a working mine, you know. Doesn't seem to be anybody about. Nothing unusual, really. It's what you'd expect a mine to look like. So, yeah, I mean, you can obviously hear the creak of Reverend Allen's buggy, you know, coming up behind.
I'll point to the trees and say, you know, I'll jump off my horse and tie it up.
Okay. So if you're trying to conceal them, just roll me a survival to see how well
survival
you do that. And survival for that sort of thing.
So, yeah, made it.
So yeah, you find a good spot that you think is, you know, will keep them out of line of sight of the mine and, you know, the few tracks that lead into it. Reverend Allen and Jebediah, can you also make me notice rolls once you sort of get within, you know, good view of the mine?
Yep.
Two races. So whatever it is, I definitely notice it, whatever it is and what they're wearing.
Yeah, as you're tying your horse up and, you know, surveying the, you know, the area, I mean, you're obviously presumably all relatively alert and wary, knowing that there might be problems, you know, you might be walking into problems. You, again, Jebediah, much like you did from the Messer, you realise that, although it's hard to see, you know, because of the sunlight and the darkness of the mine, you're sure in the depth of the mine, you know, that sort of, you know, that big opening that just sort of disappears into darkness, you can see the sort of the faint flickering of maybe a red ambience in there. And in fact, the closer you look, you think you can see working its way through the rock and actually, finally, you know, sort of twisting into the rock outside seem to be strands of what look like faintly could be mistaken for rust, but you realise are actually some sort of strands of red veins running through the rocks, almost like tentacles running out of the mine.
Fellas, I just want to remind you of my previous godly vision of this mine. That there's some kind of fire magic at work within, which is laid low the souls of our brothers and turned them into those shambling beasts of mud that we have previously encountered. And I have to say that my senses tell me that whatever that devious magic is, it's still at work within his mind. So we should tread most carefully, is what I'm telling you. Whether you choose to listen to me or not.
Well, if the devil's got his hand in the workings of this mine, we definitely have to tread carefully.
Well, I have no doubt in your faith, brother, and I think you should lead on with your shield of faith.
Okay.
Albeit after the more subtle...
Christian soldiers marching into war.
Now, don't take me literally, Reverend. I'm thinking perhaps the subtler motions of our friend Wolf might benefit us more, but nevertheless, I'm most admirous of your endeavor in this regard.
Okay, I'll happily let Wolf lead.
I'll lead on. I'll track him.
I'll get my tambourine out.
Or guile, or are you just...
Yeah, stealth. I'm going to use stealth and just keep sort of 20, 30 paces ahead of those two.
And what about Reverend Alan and Jebediah?
Stealth, you say?
You can still try and be stealthy. You're not very good at it, but you can still try.
You could, couldn't you?
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to try and increase everyone's stealth. If I can. Let's see.
I believe you can try and enhance more than one person's abilities. Obviously, there's an additional cost to that.
Yeah, I think it's 2 points plus one per additional.
How long does that enhancement last for? Is it something like five?
It's only three rounds or something. So let me double check.
But yeah, it'd be enough to get you from your horses to the mine entrance.
Yeah, exactly. So let me just roll that. With a raise. So, with a raise...
Does that increase the duration? Or does it increase... Do they get two dice instead of one?
So, it's by two steps. Are you doing raise trait?
Yeah.
So, it'd be two dice.
Two dice. For five rounds. Two with a raise for five rounds. So, five rounds, we get an extra two dice to our stealth.
So if you want to roll me your stealths, if you're using them.
Okay.
So I get the feeling Reverend Allen's just marching across.
I don't have stealths.
Singing.
I do, yeah. Okay.
Alright, so...
So your stealth is two dice better.
Okay.
I still failed it, though.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Did you up your dice, Jebediah?
Yes.
So, just a second, because I'm going to... if I make a smart, then I will notice you've stealthing in. Oh, yeah. Right. This is how you do it.
All three of you sort of move across as quickly and quietly and as unobserved as you possibly can. And yeah, as you draw closer, quite close to the mine entrance, you can, both Wolf and Reverend Allen can see what Jebediah saw. Is that, there seems to be veins running through the rock. You can see them coming out of the darkness of the mine. They're not running along the mine walls, but they're sort of starting running along the sides of the walls, onto the, the face of the rock face outside. Almost look like tentacles. They're not, because they're, they're buried in the rock. They're like veins of overly red ore. They're quite vibrant red, almost blood-like.
So I'm going to call upon the faith of the Lord, ask him if this blood-like veins in the rock has any arcane infusion within it. And it's a neck two. Fuckity-doo. Right, ready to do a Benny.
D12.
Made it with a raise. Oh, it's neck two, so I made it.
Yeah, they seem to be infused with some sort of power. It's certainly not fate, the power of the Lord, but some sort of power running through them.
Definitely the devil's work here.
Is it the power that's running through the priest?
Yeah,
if you made it with a raise, I might have given you that, but...
Yeah, fair enough.
Oh.
But yeah, it's definitely not the power of the Lord.
Don't touch the walls, gentlemen. I can sense the devil's work is afoot in that there unnatural mine workings.
I'm inclined to follow your lead in that battle, Reverend.
I'll cross myself.
Okay, I'll lead on.
So yeah, you head in. I take it still trying to be stealthy.
Yep.
Do you have any light source at all? Because as you sort of head into the gloom, these blood red seams do give out some light, but it's very poor, to say the least. You know, maybe, you know, it's very faint, and as it goes into the darkness, it maybe illuminates maybe 8-10 inches around it, no more than that.
We have light.
The Lord can provide us light.
Indeed he can, but will that make you a target, Reverend?
Maybe.
I'll look around for some...
Yeah, we'll see if we can...
I don't have to make myself light.
We'll have a look around.
This rock here, light.
Make some torches from... if there must be some oil.
Yeah, just roll me survival, Wolf. Or, another skill that you think might be good for scavenging, if you think there's a better one. Survival seems the obvious one, but...
We'll just go for the survival.
And Reverend Allen and Jebediah, ooh, you're welcome to do it as well.
Two razors.
Yeah, so, yeah, you sort of look around as you're, you know, disparaging the light sources, and you see there's a couple of discarded old lanterns near the entrance, Wolf.
Wicked.
Yeah, they're battered and they're sort of damaged. You know, the glass is cracked. In fact, one of them missing half his glass, but, you know, they're certainly serviceable. I think it'll be enough for your purposes.
Wicked. Spirit of Fire has granted us these lamps.
Fantastic. Yeah,
the spirit of looking for discarded items.
Spirits led me to it. Okay, I will lead on.
So you light them up, I take it?
Yep.
Do you want us to take the lanterns if you're taking the lead?
Yes.
Would you work better in the shadows?
I do. Pull out my axe as well.
In that case, I'll take a lantern, and will you, Reverend?
Yeah, I'll kindly take a lantern.
Yeah, the miner's lantern, so they can be hooded, if you so chose. So yeah, Wolf, would you make me another stealth roll now you're in the mine, please?
So I made it.
Again, I'm assuming from the way you're speaking that you go slightly ahead. So you head in, you're slightly ahead. You obviously the light they cast, Wolf, you know, passes you, so it doesn't blind you, so you can see pretty well, but still stay in the heavy shadow. And yeah, you don't travel that far, maybe 20 or 30 yards before this, which is obviously the main passage into the mine, opens up into a larger cavern, which is purely seems to be of carved out to allow the lift shaft, which, you know, there's no entrances leading on or off of it apart from where you've come. You see this like large, you know, lift shaft and mechanism, you know, wooden construct with a large...
I don't know what that is.
I think you could probably work it out. You know, there's a large platform with ropes running down to it, and yeah, I mean, it's much like a very big well.
Okay. So, go to the where the big opening down is.
Yeah, so you move into the room, you can see, yeah, it's as you would imagine a large Wild West mineshaft looks. It's a large wooden platform, you know, no rails around it, no safety measures, and just, you know, sort of this large sort of, you know, bars over the top with wheels, with, you know, ropes and handles, so you can sort of lower yourselves down into the depths of the mine.
And the carriage is up.
Well, as I say, it's not really a carriage, it's just like a flat platform, but yes, it's up, yeah.
Okay. Jebediah, you know how this works?
I think I can figure it out. There's no engine.
No, it seems to be completely manually operated, yeah.
This is all under our own power, and we can lower ourselves at our leisure.
Okay. I put a foot on the platform.
Yeah, and it moves a little bit because it's not perfectly fitted. Takes your weight, fine.
All right. Okay, what do we do now?
Well, we've come this far. I figure we carry on investigating.
Okay, But how do we operate this thing?
You put your weight on the platform. Don't you worry. I'll figure out the
operation. There's cranks at each end for you to lower yourselves down. Certainly, Reverend Allen and Jebediah would, sort of recognise the workings.
Let them do it.
Wolf, I think you would as well, unless you decide that Wolf wouldn't, if you see what I mean. Yeah, it's not a complex machinery. I think you can quite easily see what's going off.
I'll make sure Wolf knows what we're doing in the operation of the platform. I'll say, Wolf, you observe how we operate this thing, and you do the reverse, it'll bring you back up.
Ah, just in case you don't make it.
Always a possibility.
Okay.
So can you all make me notice rolls, please?
Nope.
Giant beast.
I made it.
So yeah, Wolf, Reverend Allen, I guess, and Jebediah sort of set themselves up to. So there's a crank at each end. And you would think, Wolf, it's probably going to be harder work getting back up than it is going down, because you've got, the force of gravity sort of helping you go down. And Reverend Allen and Jebediah, you'd easily see when you go there, it's sort of these two sort of crank handles are ratcheted so that you can take a rest, as it were. Do you know what I mean? It would hold if you let the handles go. It wouldn't just, drop. That's about the only level of safety there is on this thing.
I didn't notice that.
Oh, no, you noticed that anyway, whether you made your roll or not. That's fine.
I didn't even know there are crank handles. How do we work this?
He didn't even know he had hands.
So I take it then you're just heading down, are you?
Looks like it.
Got to keep out. I'm going to keep an eye out for tunnels leading off from this shaft going down.
I guess Reverend Allen and Jebediah, because Wolf seems quite uncomfortable with this. Get ready to winch you down. Wolf, they start to move. You hear something from above, and you realize that one corner of this platform has been quite reasonably well concealed. But you hear the rattle from above, that it looks like there is a rope going from the corner of the platform and leading up into the darkness above you. As you hear, as you crank one winch down, you hear something begin to move above you.
Jump! I'm going to jump off the lift.
What?
Run!
I'll jump off the lift.
Jebediah!
Thank you for joining us and listening to another episode of Chimpians Do Deadlands Reloaded. The game references the Savage Worlds game system, available from Pinnacle Entertainment Group at www.pegink.com. It's unofficial media content, permitted under the Media Network Content Agreement. This content is not managed, approved, or endorsed by Pinnacle Entertainment Group. Certain portions of the material used are the intellectual property of Pinnacle, and all rights are reserved. Savage Worlds, all related settings and unique characters, locations, and logos and trademarks are copyright of Pinnacle Entertainment Group. In this episode, Reverend Allen was played by Scott, Jebediah was played by Matt, and Wolf was played by Paul. If you like what we do and would like to help us out, please leave a 5-star review at iTunes or on your podcast aggregator of choice. Tell your friends, and by all means, shout from the rooftops on whatever social media you choose. If you've got a few dollars to spare and want to help us out that way, you can support us on Patreon at chimpions.co.uk/Patreon. And if you'd just like to contact the show and say hi, you can contact me on Twitter at ChampionsRPG. Email me at mark@chimpions.co.uk, or use our contact page at www.chimpions.co.uk. And again, thank you very much for joining us for this episode, and hope to catch you on the next one. Bye!